Merry Christmas.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Text 1. The chapter is entitled Maharaj Raghuna Meets Jad Bharat. So I'll just I'll go through the Sanskrit, then we'll do the word for word. Savarbhavaloka nirikshanantam avyakta lingo vinshayapisvit yogeshwaram gati mandanda buddhi tatam vichastita pranam buddhana badana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or his incarnation Kapila Dev. Vai. Indeed. Bhavan. Your good self. Loka. Nirishana. Artham. Just to study the characteristics of people of this world. Abhyakta Linga. Without manifesting your real identity. Vicharati. Are traveling in this world. Apisvid. Weather. Yoga. Ishvaran. Of all the advanced yogis. Gatim. The characteristics or actual behavior. Ananda Buddhi, who are illusioned and have become blind to spiritual knowledge. Katam. How? Vikasita. May know. Griha Anubhanda. I, who am bound by attachment to family life or worldly life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Is it not a fact that your good self is a direct representative of Kapila Dev, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And this is Lord Rahugana speaking to Jad Bharat. To examine people and see who is actually a human being and who is not, you have presented yourself to be a deaf and dumb person. Are you not moving this way upon the surface of the world? I am very attached to family life and worldly activities, and I am blind to spiritual knowledge. Nonetheless, I am now present before you and am seeking enlightenment from you. How can I advance in spiritual life? Purport. Although Maharaj Raghuna was playing the part of a king, he had been informed by Jad Bharat that he was not a king, nor was Jad Bharat deaf and dumb. Such designations were simply coverings of the spirit soul. Everyone must come to this knowledge, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Dehino Shvin Yata Dehe. Everyone is encased within the body. Since the body is never identical with the soul, the bodily activities are simply illusory. In the association of such a sadhu as Jad Bharat, Maharaj Raghuna came to the awareness that his activities as a royal authority were simply illusory phenomena. He therefore agreed to receive knowledge from Jad Bharat, and that was the beginning of his perfecting. Tat vijana tam sat gurum eva vigachet. A person like Maharaj Raghuna, who was very inquisitive to know the value of life, the spiritual science, must approach a personality like Jad Bharat. Tasma Gurum Papeketa Jinasu Shreya Uttama. Bhagavatam 11.321. One must approach a guru like Jad Bharat, a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to inquire about the goal of human life. mangyanati mirandasya nirajana shalakaya chachuru vinidhamena kasmai shri gurema chaitanya manovisham stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yutha patakamalam shri guru vaishnavamsha shri rupam sarvajatam saradhanam raghunatham vitam tam sajivam sarvetham sabadutam harijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahajana lalita shri vishaka vitamsha hey krishna karuna sindhu dina bandho jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanushe Devi Pranamayuni Priye Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Bhashtacharya Sakarine Panchakalpataru Vyashta Kripa Sindhu Vyaiva Cha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasavadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Go Premanandi,
Hare Go.
So before I start speaking on this great exalted subject matter, I'd like to beg the presence of all the devotees present, especially Adi Prabhu, please bless me so I can speak something that's individually and collectively beneficial to all of our spiritual lives. So, there's a couple of points made in this verse and purport that Prabhupada went to again and again and again and again. You are not this body, and we must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Someone that can guide us and direct us in our life to the ultimate goal, which is to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, in this connection, I was thinking, you know, you're not this body. Something that, you know, we hear over and over and over, but, you know, how do we actually realize that? And I was going through and I was thinking about this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 1861. Which Krishna says, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, or Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So he's describing that this body is a machine. So every machine is created with a purpose. You know, like this microphone we have, the harmonium, our phones, has a specific purpose. So similarly, this body has a purpose. And I was reading in the purport, Prabhupada said a person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car. Though the living entities, the drivers, may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Lord, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender. So that's the duty of the human body. Now that you have this human form of life, is to surrender. Surrender, that's the function that the human body is supposed to perform. Supposed to surrender. And Arjuna surrenders to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And in the second chapter, when he's asking Krishna, you know, what is my duty? He says, now I am confused about my duty. I've lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. please instruct me. Saying, please instruct me. So we need to have this surrender, because we need to get the instruction of the Guru. And, you know, how does one get to that point, from the point of surrendering to the ultimate goal? It seems like it could be such a large gap. Like, what's all the work that has to be done in between? And in this regard, I was thinking about the last five verses of the Brahma Samhita. The Brahma Samhita is a very, very important literature. How many people know what the Brahma Samhita is? So the Brahma Samhita is spoken by Lord Brahma at the beginning of the creation. And it's a very important literature that our acharyas wanted us to really, really know. Starting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, which he unearthed the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita, personally printed it, and personally handed it out to his disciples so they can learn it. So this is something that also we must do. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Prabhupada's spiritual master, also wanted his disciples to know the Brahma Samhita. And taking up that mood, Prabhupada also wanted us to do it. That's why when the curtains open, we're chanting verses from the Brahma Samhita. That's why Prabhupada institutionalized that, to study the Brahma Samhita. Also, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta commented the entire Brahma Samhita, and Prabhupada provided us that to read. So we do have the Brahma Samhita available. I strongly advise that you study that. And the last five verses of the Brahma Samhita are, and I'll read them to you, which is something very interesting that speaks on that gap, that it's by gradual degrees that we actually make advancement in devotional service. So this is starting on verse 58. So verse 57 is just a prequel to that. He says, "My beloved, for me to this science set forth in the following five slokas." This is Krishna speaking to Lord Brahma. He says, "When the pure spiritual experience is excited by the means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. Then whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself. Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith." It's very powerful there. So your realization of spiritual knowledge will correspond to the faith you have in the process. "The people of the world will act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me by means of those deeds, one will attain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the supreme service." And then this is the last verse. He says, "Listen, O Vidhi, I am the seed, the fundamental principle of this world, of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhan, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause. And I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs specifically to the Brahman that inherits in you has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects." So basically he's telling Brahma, the only reason you can do anything is because of me. So you're not the controller, I am. So that this, especially verse 59, it was very striking. I'll just read it again. "The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by method of constant endeavor for self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice." So sometimes when you're first coming to devotional service, you're thinking, oh, you know, everyone's a pure devotee, and you know, once I start chanting Hare Krishna, that's it, it's going to happen. And then you start realizing as time starts going on, you're like, oh man, I'm not really going anywhere. know, but this is giving us assurance that it's attained by slow degrees and constant endeavor. So that's the thing. Don't give up and keep the vibration going. Something my Guru Maharaj always says. He says, keep the vibration going. Always. That's the only thing that will save us. That's the only thing that will keep us in connection with Krishna. Is we always vibrate in the holy name. It says here, theistic evidence, scriptural evidence, theistic conduct. So we're acting on what we're reading in the scriptures. And the scriptures say, chant Hare Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna. You know, surrender to the Guru. We surrender to the Guru. And these are things we have to do in order to advance in devotional service. So, in regards to that, to surrendering and rendering service, one verse that usually is chanted when we start Bhagavatam class is, you know, the famous Nasa Preshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamasloke Bhakti Bhagavati Naistaki, which says, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering up service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. And when I was reading this line, you know, it's rendering service to the pure devotee, the question could come up, so do I even need to take initiation? You know, this is something that I was thinking, if I could just render service, why do I even take initiation? And sometimes you see people, they do some service and they're saying, okay, I mean, then I'm doing service to a pure devotee, so I mean, I'm good then, you know, I don't really need to do anything else. But actually, diksha, when we do take initiation, it's a vow, and it's a form of surrender also. We're surrendering to a specific person, and so it's a vow, and it's something that was an example that's been given in our line, even though our line is a siksha line, so it's an instruction line. We're instructed by certain spiritual masters that might not be our initiating spiritual master. That's how the knowledge has been transferred down. But still, diksha is important. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took diksha initiation. That's why Krishna himself took diksha initiation. And they were leading by the example of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're setting the example for humanity to follow. And in this connection, Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, you know, Krishna's setting the example for us that we have to surrender to Guru. And when we do surrender, that's the means by which we would get out of this bodily concept of life. So service to Guru is what actually leads to that realization that we're not the body. And you can't just realize that you're not the body, but you know, without surrendering to your Guru, because essentially we're eternal servants of Krishna. So by surrendering, we develop that servant mentality, that we're a servant, we're not the master. We're trying to erode that false ego, that conception that we're the master. Everybody's meant to serve me. You know, it's the other way around. We're the servants. We're meant to serve everybody. We're meant to serve Krishna and everybody else. Going back to the two points that Prabhupada always made, you're not the body, and surrender. And they go hand in hand, because in order to realize that you're not the body, you have to surrender to your Guru. Understand? To understand, you know, that you're not the body. And, you know, speaking about Gurus, and today's Christmas, Prabhupada also used to say, you know, Jesus Christ is our Guru. I don't have much. I grew up Catholic, but I don't have much recollection or stories about Jesus Christ, you know, what he did, and, you know, I've heard here and there, but I never went too deeply into the subject. But one thing I you know, when I was coming to, like, when I was a child, of course, if you grew up like in a Christian, whatever, Catholic tradition, Santa Claus is like the big thing. You know, you think that Santa Claus is this guy that's flying around with reindeers for gifts, and, you know, to bring you. And then as you're growing up, you're like, okay, Santa's, you know, this is a bogus thing. It's not even real. But one thing I was meditating on was when I came back to Krishna consciousness, when I came to Krishna consciousness, it started making me realize, like, okay, maybe it's a possibility Because, you know, you start reading in the Bhagavad somehow, and I just finished up the third canto, and, you know, it was talking about how Karna Muni produced this flying, a mansion. And it's like, and he was flying around a mansion, so you just read all these far-out things in the Bhagavad, and you're like, man, so everything is possible, you know? How does a big fat man go into a chimney, turns into a small guy, and, you know, so that's... But anyway, that's just sad. But other than that, yeah, so the two points are, you know, we're not the body, and we must surrender. So when we do this, when we do surrender, and it comes by, again, it's gradual, it's not something that happens overnight, slowly we will come to higher points of realization, and we're enlivened by that. The small degrees of progress that we are making, it gives us a boost to get to the next step. One time I was sitting in Abhiram Prabhu's room, and he told me this. He looked at me right in the eyes, and I told him, I was like, Prabhu, oh man, this is so nice. You know, I'm chanting my 16 rounds, and this is like when I was first living in the ashram, maybe like 2 weeks in. And he goes, yes. He looked at me, he said, this is the only thing in your life that will get sweeter and sweeter as time goes on.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing else. So that's something that I've now practically started to experience. And now a year later, definitely say it's gotten a lot sweeter. And I think that's the kind of attention. Does anybody have any questions, comments, corrections?
One of my favorite quotes from Gaudiya Swami is, before we can understand that we are not the body, we have to understand what our body is for and then how to use it for the highest spiritual good. So it's kind of like, it's so far out for me to understand, like, I'm not this body, like, I don't understand it at all. But if I think about, like, well, I'm practicing every day in order to try and understand my life purpose, then I can get out of the bodily conception, you know, and then understand that the body is, like you're saying, a machine mm-hmm. to do good. But it's like, if I'm not grounded in the purpose, then it's like, it's so illusory.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Krishna said that. Yeah. So I was just thinking about that, how everything has a function. You know, machines aren't just made. You know, sometimes in this material world, people make stuff and that has no purpose, you know, but most of the time they have a purpose for making something. Like that, the body, the purpose is to surrender. Like we read in the purport, Prabhupada's talking, everyone's duty is to surrender. Hare Krishna.
Christmas. Christmas is so, you know, in here, you probably even not even think that there is such a thing, but, you know, we grow up in it. Judeo-Christian culture. The whole idea of it is so amazing. I was actually expelled from kindergarten for 2 years.
Whoa.
I had to go to another school.
Don't mess around.
And it turned out to be a Catholic school. So you have to imagine, like, you know, you're in that young age, and the teacher is a nun. You know, with a veil, covered head, long, you know, like a sorry, long robe, taking a vow of celibacy, having life with prayer, and has some faith. And then she told us, day by day, like the story of the Bible. You know, everything from like the Garden of Eden, and the Lord said, don't do this, and then they did it, and then they got thrown out, and then the whole thing about like Noah, and you know, people were flooded because they weren't following God, and he was his family was saved. Chose to obey, and then the whole thing about the Jewish tradition through hundreds of years, they're expecting somebody to come. You know, that Krishna would send someone to instruct them and lead them back into devotional service on another level. And then, like, that person is Jesus. So, like, the karmic life is like a whole rampage of fruitive activity. We saw this guy with the t-shirt, whoever has the most toys when he dies wins, you know. It's like the philosophy, you know, get this, get more shoes, get more, you know, jewelry, get more bigger teal television. And then, like, this Jesus comes, and I just saw, like, a guy in the street when I came out of 8th Avenue this morning. Rama in it, the chanting of holy.
No.
He said that, Rama, like Valmiki, you know, Narada Muni taught him Mara. So he, you know, the holy name is really the way Krishna appears. So in the Christmas, there is the name of Christ, the holy name. In English we say Christ, Latin we say Christus, it's in the Greek to say Christos with a K, in Sanskrit we say Krishna, but Jesus is the son of Krishna, Krishna's son.
Mm.
So everybody says Christmas, even the, you know, people steeped in the karmi mentality of getting, and Christmas is like the orgasm of, like, you know, the whole year, they bought get, a lot of money, and then spend it all, and then, you know, and they get it by themselves, spend it on themselves. And so, like, you know, even though they're steeped in a materialistic culture, when they say Christmas, and everybody's saying Christmas, you know, the place you go, people, complete strangers will say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So the holy name is, you know, kind of sanctifying the atmosphere. And it's really a beautiful thing how Jesus tricked them and, you know, showed them that you're willing, you know, he was willing to die for the benefit of others, you know. So Krishna consciousness is like the opposite of karma, like it's about giving. It's about giving. And at least, you know, the highest gift is to, you know, encourage people in spiritual life, and faith and devotional service. And giving them what they receive from the spiritual master is this wisdom and a whole other quality of consciousness. Love. Literally speaking, in the material world, dog eat dog, they say.
Hmm.
One time I was in New Mexico, and there were these, you know, street dogs that you see in India or any, they're just like completely neglected and, you know, covered with scabs and, you know, dirty and starving, and one of them got hit by a car, and his intestines were coming out, and the other dogs came and they were like trying to eat. The poor dog's guts while he was still alive, you know. It was like, dog eat dog is like the way this world works. Jivoji Vasuji Minom, right? You know that? Jivoji Vasuji Minom. The weaker, the ones that have legs eat the ones that have no legs like the grass. The ones that have hands, claws like the tiger eats the four legged, you know. The weak are the subsistence for the strong. Big fish eat the little fish. It's so horrible. But then, like in Christmas, with a little bit of spiritual life, there's the reverse of that, of like the gift giving.
Yeah, that's an important point, the holy names. And Prabhupada often made that point, even he makes that point in the science of self-realization, that, you know, like Christos, and Krishna. When he was talking to that, what was it, the monk?
Father Emmanuel. Yeah.
And Father Emmanuel was telling him that he had his beads, and he would chant, "My dear Lord Jesus, Jesus, my dear Lord Jesus, my dear Lord Jesus," you know, along those lines. And Prabhupada said, "Yeah, that's very good. So how come everybody else isn't doing that?" Prabhupada then told him, "You know, your churches are closed, you know, all the time. You know what? People just have to chant the name of God that they're familiar with."
I was talking to a Russian Orthodox priest last night on the phone. He used to live here in New York, and he's getting initiated by Chandra Maharaj, but he chants, you know, the holy name on beads every day, and now he's chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna. But you know, the holy name is there, and it's effective. The Buddhists chant Om Mito Pho. They have 108 beads. You know that? Yeah, 108 beads, and they chant Om Mito Pho, the inconceivable Lord, Buddha, one name for Buddha, Om Mito Pho. Even the Muslims chant the holy name.
Yeah, I've seen them in the subways.
Krishna is giving them access to the spiritual world through the holy name. We have some man who came with a red suit. He gave some. Maybe you could take a minute and give these out. Just read the names. You can.
Yeah, now on the subject of this, I was listening to a lecture of my Guru Maharaj, and he was talking about how giving really softens our heart. It puts us in the mood to, even if it's just giving prasadam, He was saying, even if you can't, even, you know, even the book distribution, you know, some people can't do it, they're a little, you know. But you just give some prasadam. He was talking about how he was walking in Vrindavan with Keshava Bharati Maharaj, and he saw a monkey. And he wanted to give the monkey something. You know, he can't give the monkey a book. So he said he had a lollipop with him, you know, lollipop, organic lollipop that had been offered to Krishna. And he threw it at the monkey, and he said he saw the monkey, he grabbed it, took the paper off, took the lollipop, started chewing it, you know, started chewing the lollipop, and he ate it. And he said just by doing that, his day got better because he felt satisfied. He said, wow, I gave this other living entity, I gave him Krishna. You know, so this is you know, we do on Harinam, we give out these little organic candies.
Yeah.
You know, even just doing that, you know, just a little something.
He's the most beautiful, the most generous, the strongest, the most intelligent. He's the greatest dancer. He's also the greatest giver.
Yeah.
And so if we're in Krishna consciousness to give, it's really nice. We only have a few minutes, but you can keep talking.
Yeah, so in connection to that, and the reason why we feel the bliss was being the reason why we feel the bliss was being told to us by Rameshwar Prabhu. He came on Thanksgiving and he gave a little Sankirtan class, and he was telling us the reason why the bliss is felt is because Krishna in their heart becomes happy. So because he becomes happy in their heart, you're around that, you also become happy because he's in your heart. It's like that's the point. It's like when we're giving Krishna to somebody else, you know, Krishna in their heart becomes enlivened. So, oh, this person, I've been trying to get him to turn to me, and now my devotee is giving them something, giving them me.
Krishna's love is flowing through.
It's like everywhere, you know.
Like a river. Devadatta Swami, when he's traveling, not many people know that he listens to these gospel songs, you know, and he sings, you know, so fun. He's driving along for like hours chanting these amazing songs. One of them is like, there is a river of love that flows through the city of God, you know, and he's like singing. So cool. Anyway, let's take a look at what you have there.
So a man in a red suit named Adi and Evangel.
Who is it?
Adi and Evangel. Mr. Josh.
Josh, but Josh.
Baba. Anyone called Baba here? Baba.
Oh no! Give me that one.
Then Purnendu Prabhu.
Ah.
You gotta come to see me twice, man. Next up, Buck the King.
He's
in the kitchen. This is for Bhakti season.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
This is for Mahotsaha Das. This is Asim Govinda Prabhu. Sleeping. This is for... Oh, he's not sleeping. Oh, that's Asaiva. Don't ask that. I see they're not a good idea. Amrit Prabhu. Oh, he's not sleeping. Good. Oh. No.
You can slide
it.
Yeah. Tell it. You can tell it Santa Claus is an Indian.
I don't know Sankirtan Prabhu. Last day for you, not here. Mukunda Preshta, sleeping.
He's usually at wedding, actually.
Karana Gauranga Prabhu. Brajraj Prabhu. Miss Bhagavatam. Ram Rai Prabhu.
Give
the glass, not the cup. Oh, man. Guru Gauranga Prabhu. Chinmay Radha Madhavi. Anand Vihari Ki Prabhu. Rimai Prabhu.
Chinmay
Radha Madhavi.
My husband is here.
Yeah. Can I give it to
you? Anand Vihari. Give it to you. Gaurav Prabhu. Well, I'm going to play with the ladies here. Linda Justice Mataji. Oh, there's two for Gaurangi.
Ah, great.
All right, I'm throwing them at you, okay?
Can I?
Oh. I just like, that was fragile.
Lucy. Mati, Lucy.
She was here earlier, okay.
Natabara Kabul, Lucy,
sleeping.
Vidya. Ilana, anyone call Ilana here? the Rupini Mataji.
God.
Vidya is not here. Kim Mataji. Sundari Gopi Mataji. Radha Kumari Mataji.
Is anybody
here? Krishna Kripa Prabhu. Gaura Sharan Prabhu.
Not
good. Jai Giridhari Prabhu. Shama Mad. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got it.
Okay.
Who's that? Madhava Prabhu. Madhava?
Oh, Madhava's Kim.
Nishant Prabhu. Sleep. Anand Bihari Prabhu.
Give him Radha Kumarji and Raj Raj.
Okay, all that. Sundarnath Prabhu, is he in?
No.
Ashraya Radha Mataji. Feel like I'm being
this. This is a precursor.
I think Mataji, she's not here.
Next it's going to be Japanese.
Yeah. I'm sorry, many people are not here.
They wouldn't show up.
Now Mikey, yeah, dude. I'm sorry, bro. Mikey.
Are these two here?
Oh, yeah, this, yeah, Mikey.
Really?
Mikey Prabhu and Sasha Prabhu.
Say that
doesn't exist. Sasha Prabhu.
Who's Evangel?
Who is Evangel? I think we should there's a question. Bhagavatam.
Who's
Evangel?
It's a mysterious, invisible person.
Bhakti Siddha ki jai.
Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Gaur Premananda.
Hari Gaur.
Would you like to thank Adipurush
Prabhu for giving his Christmas present?
Hey Krishna.
So personal.
So personal.
1 month ago he started taking the names and everything and he was so
Thank you
for
really sweet.
Another
thing
helps so much.
Yeah,
Ananda
Sangha, man.
So are we going to open them or what?
Yeah, you got to do it. Man, you better
we should open them at breakfast.